Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe, and I am really fucking sick, but I'm still doing this anyway. Aki and Bree are here. How are you two doing?
I'm eating breakfast because it's early.
Well, you
I'm tired because it's early.
I have not eaten. I have not slept. I am a mess. Like, when I'm sitting up, yeah. I can breathe fine. As soon as I lay my head down on a pillow, my throat just gets gargly and gunky and shitty, and I can't breathe.
Yay!
What up, Raider Biz? Yeah. Thank you for the 47th month resub. Good to see you here. I guess you're able to make it when we do different time shows. Go figure. Oh, let's get to news. I don't want to babble too much this week. The new Xbox got announced.
Good for it.
Sort of.
Anyone have any thoughts on it?
Well, it was a 7-second clip that just said a name, so
yeah,
we don't need it. But other than that, no, I have no opinions. It could wait for another, like, 5 or 6 years, and then maybe it'll be time to upgrade, because shit just costs too much right now. And yeah, you know, with that thing's gonna be ungodly priced.
Yeah, probably. I mean, they have come out, it confirms that I'll just read the tweet from Asha. Great start to the morning with Team Xbox, where we talked about our commitment to the return of Xbox, including Project Helix, the code name for our next generation console. That's the important word here. Project Helix will lead in performance, so it's going to be expensive, and will play your Xbox and PC games. Looking forward to chatting about this with more partners and studios at my first GDC next week. Notice she did not say play all your Xbox and PC games, which has me thinking that if a game is not in the Play Anywhere program, it will not play on your new console. That's my concern.
I had heard rumors and stuff that they were trying to make it to where Steam would run on it too. And
it's supposed to run multiple storefronts.
Yeah, I'm just...
Like, the storefront is nothing. It's just a shell to download files. The important things are the games. And as long as they could get those games running on those machines...
I don't know. If you end up not being able to play your entire Steam library on it, that's going to make shit unnecessarily fucking confusing. Which is totally something Xbox would do. After all, they have like 5 different
fucking payment plans. But it's not a Steam machine, it's an Xbox. The primary concern is it's an Xbox, but it also plays PC games. Will it play every PC game? Highly doubtful, because there's many Steam games that are rated AO or not rated that would easily get AO that are not allowed on console in first place.
Only like because they're Sony afraid.
Nintendo, Microsoft, and Sony will not allow it. Don't go calling them afraid. Don't be a wiener.
Oh, they're chicken shits.
But AO games have never sold on console, so you're probably not getting your porn on Xbox, Aki.
One day. They'll stop being afraid.
No, they won't. I would also imagine that there is a very high chance that Sony will pull some shit to get their games off of a compatibility list, because that leads to some more news this week. PlayStation is officially pulling back from PC game releases. Ghost of Yote will not release on PC, Saros will not release on PC, and Wolverine will not release on PC. Because when Sony fucks over gamers, it's good for everybody. Marvel Tokon still keeps a PC release.
Yeah, they claimed that their sales just weren't good enough for it. But realistically speaking, if they got 100 sales, that's still 100 sales worth of extra money they wouldn't have had.
But reporting takes work.
Yeah.
It takes more than $100 worth of work.
Yeah, well, they definitely made more than $100 off of their damn games.
Yeah.
I feel their real reason for this was because of, you know, what we had just talked about.
Yeah.
I have a feeling that's really the big major reason why they did it. They were like, we don't want you to be able to play this on Xbox. Fuck you.
I do not doubt it at all. Yeah, some big shitty news. Like, we're getting so close to, like, breaking down the walls of exclusivity. I think Xbox would be like, fuck you, you're not getting Fable anymore. Canceled. Xbox exclusive. Yeah. I never thought Fable should have went to PlayStation. That was an Xbox-hyped game for, what, a decade? They hyped up Fable as the savior Xbox exclusive. And they're putting a single-player story game on the competition.
Yep.
Why? Why? At launch, why?
Yeah. It,
hurting their own customers.
We were so close to having the future I had been wanting since before I was even on the show. I wanted to get rid of all exclusives and just have everyone play everything. We were moving slowly, but still, we were moving towards it, and I was so happy, and now we just took a big fuck-off step size backward, man. Fuck.
Yeah. Yay, PlayStation. Some Game Pass news. We got a bunch of games coming to Game Pass. The first half was revealed March 3rd. We got Final Fantasy 3 and Kingdom Come Deliverance 2.
Yay!
Ew.
March 4th, EA Sports F125 joined EA Play.
Eh.
March 5th, Planet of Lana 2, Children of the Leaf.
Very nice.
I was waiting for you two to both go, eh. March 10th, Construction Sim and Cyberpunk 2077.
Ooh, interesting.
That's pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah, get your Cyberpunk on. And then March 17th, just in time for my birthday, DreamWorks Gabby's Dollhouse, Reach to Party.
All right.
There you go. Now you got yourself a new game to play. Woohoo.
I'm inviting Jacob up for that one.
He would totally love to play that. Everyone here knows it.
We're going to get, like, the old 80s can of High C fruit punch that you have to use, like, the metal can opener to pour. Never mind. I'm old.
I might be too young for that.
Games are leaving Game Pass as well. March 16th, we are losing 6 titles with Bratz, Rhythm and Style, Enter the Gungeon, which is a bummer, F123, EA Play, that makes sense. Is Coming, which I believe is a PC game, Lightyear Frontier, and Mythrecht Ambrosia Island.
Didn't even realize Mythrecht was on Game Pass.
Yupper.
I did it.
It was a cool game.
It was one of them I kept meaning to play but didn't have time because I was working on other shit. I'm bummed.
I did that one. It was pretty good.
Yeah, nice. I know you did. I was jealous.
Nintendo's got some new games joining their service in March. Pokemon XD Gale of Darkness is joining the NSO GameCube lineup. Mario and Donkey Kong is joining the Game Boy Advance lineup. And then I believe Mario Clash and Mario Tennis are joining the Virtual Boy Online lineup.
Those are games, and yep, they were added.
I am still waiting for my Virtual Boy attachment to get here.
Oh,
I did not buy the $99 one. That thing's too fucking stupid. No, you got the
cardboard one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want to hunch over at my desk to play the thing. I'd rather just hold it.
Yeah.
Pokemon Wind and Waves, 2 new Pokemans coming out next year.
All right.
Yeah.
Yippee.
Bandai Namco announced Echoes of Ain Crod, a new Sword Art Online game releasing July 10th on Series PS5 and PC.
That looks so bitchin'. I'm always up for some. I don't particularly care for the anime all that much, but man, the games are so fucking fun. And you don't have to watch the anime to play them. They still make sense, and I love that.
Yeah, I never watch anime, and I still play anime bullshit games.
Yeah. And this one's great, because you don't have to watch the anime to actually understand the plotline. Lots of anime games, unless they're retelling it. New one's
like that. You haven't played it.
I can't imagine they're going to change that.
Now that you say it.
No. Oh, God, that is my luck, too. No. Yeah. No.
Let's see. Two more bits of news that I have. Highguard is shutting down March 12th. That was quick.
Yep.
Yeah, 3 months. They came out on January 26th. It's not even 3 months.
Fuck, King of Meat lasted longer.
Yeah.
You can still play King of Meat for another month.
So, one of the things that I thought was interesting, it was just opinions on social media about the Highguard situation, is the very funny tweet that they should hold Jeff Keighley accountable for the Highguard failure, in that he hyped it so much.
Yeah.
I thought that was an entertaining tweet.
Well, did he legitimately type out, like, you'll be eating your words in 48 hours or something like that?
Yeah, something.
Yeah, something like that, yeah. He just hyped it
so much, yeah.
Yeah.
Jeff Keighley could be a nice guy. He needs to step away from the business because he is causing a lot more problems than good lately.
Yeah.
I mean,
his show is nothing but corporate bullshit.
Well, yeah.
The awards have seemingly gone to corporate bullshit, except for Claire Obscure, which surprisingly did well. Like, the performances are mostly terrible. The appearances are mostly god awful, except for the Muppets. Those are always good. Jeff Keighley is atrocious as a host.
Yeah.
He can't talk. He has no stage presence.
Yeah, no, the person they need to host it is that guy who came on there and started cussing he wasn't supposed to from
Joseph Ferris.
He doesn't, he might not know how to do the show properly.
I mean, they should just give him one of the shows and just let him try it, see if he can figure it out. If not, you know, hey,
have him do at least it'll
be fucking funny.
But like, get a rotating host if you have to. We know there's video gamer celebrities. We see plenty of them show up at these award ceremonies to give awards, and you could see their geek kind of slide out a little. We need more people like that at these award ceremonies. We need less suits. Like, the whole... This could go into such a long tangent on the game industry as a whole at this point.
Yeah, suits ruin everything. They need to fuck off. There, I just summarized everything that conversation would have went...
It's getting bad.
Yeah.
I'm having such a hard time enjoying this anymore.
Fair. Thankfully, there's enough AA and indie games out there that exist that I'm still doing pretty good.
All right. What news do you have?
Well, Towerborn, the devs decided to get rid of crossplay, and it has pissed off,
I did have that.
Pretty sure it's
forgot it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's the whole of basically everyone who played that game is who they managed to piss off with that action. And the reason is because they want to.
The game came out and it was MMO styled, where there was live service, there was always people online, you saw people in lobbies, you went on quests together, stuff like that. But then they had the live service stuff like microtransactions and cosmetics and blah, blah, blah. They had cross-platform play and cross-platform progression working between Xbox and PC.
Mm-hmm.
Then they announced they were going to release it on PS5 so it could be cross-play everywhere. And now the motherfuckers removed crossplay.
I'm just wondering, was that a them decision, or was that Sony deciding they didn't want to play with anyone anymore?
Oh, this is an Xbox thing. This is Xbox's game. This is an Xbox-published game. They could still do crossplay between Steam and Xbox if they wanted.
I guess that's true.
They removed basically all of the online. You can only invite friends to parties. You can't even, like, matchmake.
Yeah.
I immediately deleted it from my console. I will never go back to it.
I didn't know that part. That sucks.
Gross bait and switch.
Well, that is a terrible business plan, because legitimately, it was a decent game. It was not a particularly popular game, though. Like, being like, well, now you can only play with your friends. Most of the people who had that, unless they made friends on it, probably don't know anyone else who has that fucking game. I mean, it was a good game, because I reviewed it. It was good. It was niche as shit, though. Oh, that's stupid. It was dumb enough that they got rid of crossplay, but to get rid of being able to play with randos? What the fuck? Yeah,
not good at all. Just a really annoying week of news.
Yeah. Fucking hell. Oh, that was it. The other two pieces I had, you also had, so.
Agree, anything on your end?
I have one thing left after we already talked about some things on my list. Adventure Time DLC. This was brought to my attention. I don't know how I missed it, but for Power Wash 2, it comes out on April 9th, and I am very excited. I love Adventure Time. I love Power Wash. Yes.
I love Power Wash.
Power Wash 2 was great. I'm still working my way through it.
Haven't finished that yet?
Oh. No, because Indri and I are playing together. And we have not had as much time with everything going on in life and the wedding planning to play games together. It's like a scheduling nightmare.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
That game was fun. I think I beat that right before or right after we did the review. I either beat it the night before or that night, one of them. That game was fun. I'm excited for the DLC.
Yeah, me too.
Wee.
Ner.
All right, should we get to reviews?
Sounds good.
All right, first game to talk about tonight, Yakuza Kiwami 3 and Dark Ties, developed by RGG Studio, published by Sega, provided to us by Sega for the coverage of this, for the purpose of... I can't even do my intros right. Aki, just say thanks and pretend I said it right.
Thanks.
Released February 11th on Series X and S, Switch 2, PS5, and PC for $59.99. The bustling streets of Okinawa and Tokyo come to life in stunning detail with reimagined combat taking brutal brawling action to the next level. Added scenes deliver more depth and emotion to the beloved story with new and enhanced side experiences that immerse you in the world like never before and more. Aki, what is Yakuza Kiwami 3 and Dark Ties?
All right. This is a game that they remade and made so much better. It is split between the main game of Yakuza 3 and a brand new story that is the Dark Tide story. The main story, you focus on Kiryu, like... basically always, and he has decided to leave his Yakuza clan, and he's gonna go and handle an orphanage, like his boss helped raise him and took care of an orphanage. Now he's gonna do it, so yay! And of course bad shit goes on. There's a different Yakuza clan that's in that area, and they're trying to take the area where the orphanage is because two politicians are fighting over what they want to do with Okinawa, and they both want that land. So, yay! And yeah, you end up doing a lot less fighting, actually, surprisingly, because you end up taking care of this orphanage a lot. And you're, you know, you're sewing stuff up for them. You're catching fish for them. So, yes, there is a fish game. Have fun, folks. You can also go out and catch bugs, which I don't know what it is. Like, everyone loves the fishing. I have never found a game where they're like, oh, yeah, go catch bugs. And I've been like, I hate this. I love that stuff. I don't know why. Because I hate bugs, but I absolutely love those games. And, you know, you can increase how much each of the kids like you by helping them with their homework or sewing stuff for them, playing the mini games with them, be it bug catching or I think they have Go there as well. I haven't played that because I suck at the game.
That was a Animal Crossing game.
Yeah. You also are helping out the town and stuff by fulfilling different requests from them that gives you money that can only be spent at the orphanage, which is kind of weird, but I don't really mind it. You can do your own farming there, from taking care of animals to actual farming veggies. It's like, it's pretty nice and simple. And then you leave the orphanage area and you go into the town, and you know, there's thugs roaming around, and there's a bike gang that you get to join that's all girls except for you, and you start, you know, finding people and inviting them into the club, and then you have little battles that you get to go on with these groups of these girls, and they all get to level up and stuff. It's, there's just so much in all of these games. There's just so much. Because if all of this sounds like, what the fuck? There's still so much more. There's, you know, you help out a lady with her phone business and you start, you know, using infrared to connect with other people to make them friends. And you have to do that with each one of them multiple times to max out their friendships. And you have like 100 or something of those people to find throughout these two areas. You have all the 50 billion mini games that you're used to from playing pool, darts, crane games, a whole fuck ton of little arcade games, to singing karaoke, playing baseball. There's so much in here. There's just, you're not going to be hurting for things to do in this. And this is just one half of this game. Well, it's a little more than half. Because then you also have Dark Ties. And in that one, you don't play as Kiryu. Instead, you play as technically the bad guy. One of the bad guys of Yakuza 3 in that. And you see him joining into the Yakuza and going up the ranks and stuff. And that's Mine, who is also one of the main characters from The Man Who Erased His Name. He is that said man. It follows him. He fights completely differently than Kiryu does, because Kiryu is very much a, let me just grab people and just punch the shit out of them, or, oh, let me grab this bench and beat the shit out of people with the bench, or let me grab this motorcycle, full motorcycle, and beat them senseless with it, because, fuck it, why not? He also has a bunch of weapons in this game that, not that you have to buy like you do in some of the other games, but it's a completely different fighting style, which is interesting. And then Mine instead is very much like, I need to dodge around everything, grab people, slam them into the ground, and kick the shit out of people instead of really doing as much in punching. And yeah, they both, you know, get their level ups by, hey, beat people up, get some money, use that money to buy strength, basically. Mine's campaign is much shorter. I managed to beat it in like 2 or 3 days. After you beat it, you do get extra stuff in the main game.
Yay!
However, you probably, if you haven't played Yakuza 3 before, like the original one, probably shouldn't do that, because it actually tells you a bit of the ending of this game by just what it's based on. So really,
shout out to Injury with the 28th month resub.
Oof.
Much appreciated. Awesome. And I got a drink. Here's some Powerade.
So yeah, definitely play.
Stays down.
Hopefully, we don't need to see you vomit on screen or anything. So,
I will get the camera and put it directly into the garbage bag.
You definitely want to play the Dark Ties campaign after the main campaign, unless you've already played Yakuza 3. Then you get a good idea of what happened. They did get new voice lines and voice actors in some places from the original, because it's all seemingly new, which I wasn't fully expecting. And there's been a bit of controversy over one of the people that they have playing the one of the big main bads, which is a shame. But yeah, overall, it's been a really fun game. And oh yeah, for achievement hunters, this one's going to be so much easier than the standard edition of it. And I would know, because I'll never 100% any of the original ones, because they're so hard. They got rid of the 100% achievement from the game. And for those of you who are like, but you 100% everything, not in Yakuza, because all those games I told you, the 50 billion of them that are in them, you have to do them all perfectly to get 100% in the game. And I've never been able to even come close to that. So they got rid of that, so that's nice. I don't know if I've talked about everything in the game. There's just, because there's so much, but I think I may have.
Well, sounds like you enjoyed it either way.
Yes, very much so.
So, clocking on $59.99, what do you think of Yakuza Kiwami 3 and Dark Ties?
100% worth it. This is an amazing game. If you like the Yakuza series, you're going to love this game. And if you don't like the Yakuza series, there's something very fucking wrong with you.
Hey, there's something wrong with you, but...
Of course. But we know what's wrong with me.
No, we don't. Next up, No Sleep for Kaname Date from AI The Somnium Files. Developed and published by Spike Chunsoft. Released February 26th on Series X and S, PS4, PS5 for $39.99. Iris has been abducted by aliens, finding herself on board a mysterious UFO and tasked with completing a bizarre escape game. Iris knows there's one person who she can always count on for help. Kaname Date. She's on a fucking UFO. How is she going to find him?
He's a pervert and she has boobs. That's how. Legitimately.
As Date conduct investigations, solve escape game puzzles, and sink into the dreams of potential suspects to help Iris escape and unravel the mystery behind the Third Eye game. On a UFO in the middle of the goddamn galaxy. Boobs.
Yep. Boobs are a powerful thing. So this is a game in the AA Somnium series. And in the series, basically, there's these group of cops that go into criminals' minds with their little AI companions that are... they get rid of one of their eyes to replace it with their little AI that lives in a fake eyeball. I don't know why they don't just put it on the phone or something, but hey, whatever. So they go into people's brains and they suss out information in that, and that's a chunk of the gameplay. The rest of it is more detective work and kind of a point and click that you move around in. And you end up helping Iris, who if I remember correctly, is an idol of a magazine and also an actress, I believe. And she's almost as smart as a rotting log, but not quite there. And so you end up having a bunch of different puzzles. I feel like
all of our intelligence is getting assaulted tonight.
Yeah, fair. So you have puzzles that you play as various different people. Iris is one of them. And these puzzles are all logic puzzles. So, you know, they might be like, oh, here's this picture that shows some stuff. And then later on you find a bunch of buttons on the ground that are kind of in the shape of that picture. And you have to figure out, based on what's in that picture, what buttons you have to hit. Or, oh, hey, here's a code. You have to suss out how to understand what this code is to put in these numbers correctly. Things like that. It's not super complicated unless you're like Jacob or something. But otherwise, everyone else should be okay. And these are all timed. If you're playing on harder difficulties, if you're playing on the easiest, which there's no reason not to, you're unlimited, thankfully. There's also points where you're just roaming around trying to get clues and stuff. And in those sections, you're able to visit various places, interact with people, look around the environments, click a bunch of things a whole bunch of times to get various endings where you screw something up, which is really funny. And then there's also, lastly, the segments where you go into people's minds, basically, and those are, they have a time limit on them, but again, if you're on easy, that time limit's insane. And there's a whole bunch of things every time as you're moving, it takes away time, but when you're standing still, it doesn't. Some of the options that you can choose in it take away a whole bunch of time. Others just allow you to continue forward immediately, and you're not told which ones are which at the beginning, so you actually have to click on them to figure it out, because later on you're also able to go and replay that section in order to get through it faster and to see all the other different options, because they all give you points that go to unlocking things like background music and picture concept art, stuff like that. So yeah, this is a decently sized game, and I have actually reviewed this on Steam prior last year. I think last year, maybe the year before that even. I can't remember anymore. It's been a while. And
it all blends together.
Yeah, it does. But yeah, this plays really well. I used a controller on both of them, so it wasn't at all difficult to get used to playing it with a controller. They didn't screw anything up from porting it from Steam onto Xbox. So they did really good. And yeah.
$40. What do you think?
Totally worth it. I thought it was an amazing game the first time. It's still an amazing game. They didn't fuck anything up. So yay.
Yay. They did something good. Next up, funny, I just got an email like 20 minutes ago asking if we had update on our Planet of Lana coverage, and I'm like, I'm so sorry, I've had the flu all week, but we're going to record it in 20 minutes on Twitch if you want to watch. And he's like, I'll keep an eye out for your link. Next up, Planet of Lana 2, developed by Wishfully, published by Thunderful. It released March 5th. On Xbox One, Series, PC, Switch 2, PS4, PS5, and PC for $19.99. On Lana and Mui's home planet, new technology brings progress, but also stirs greed and imbalance. As different tribes adopt into their own ways, tensions grow and the world's harmony begins to shift. When those seeking power push too far, Lana and her little companion are pulled into a journey that reveals long-buried truths about their planet, about themselves. Aki and Bree, who wants to start?
Bree, you didn't get very far into it, so would you like to start just so you have something to say?
Yeah, I was gonna say I'll start and give you a little break from talking. So yeah, Planet of Lana 2 is a 2D side-scrolling narrative puzzle platformer. That's what I'm calling it.
Lana!
You can run, crouch, jump, hide, wall jump while you explore the landscapes with just a couple of easy to navigate buttons. You start out in like a dilapidated habitation area with jutting metal platforms and overgrown plants that have crept into this abandoned place. And soon we see evidence of some kind of monster scuttling about. Planet is an interesting mix of like post-machine decay with nature taking over, and it's really cool. There are other mechanics we have to play with, like swimming and trying not to drown, pressing buttons to control doors, electrical panels, things like that, while we usher other people with us on our quest for knowledge. You'll have to solve environmental puzzles like trying to lure monsters with tentacles coming out of their mouths that move with some kind of spidery legs. I'm sure Aki didn't like those.
No, I did not.
Yeah, they don't like light, so you can lure them using yourself as bait, and then flip switches to trap them. You also have ropes to swing from or climb, platforms you can move, and some mantling of sort as you're jumping. Lana kind of like hoists themselves up and then makes another jump. So, you know, it's a platformer, but it's more than that. We search with our young village friend to find Mui, our cat-like companion. Mui's black with a little curly tail. If you didn't play the first game, I'm explaining all this because I love it. And they wiggle their butt when they jump high. You can scramble up some surfaces if they had claws. And then sometimes we only see parts of the world according to Mui, which is a cute little sequence. You can control Mui by setting waypoints with the right bumper. And then they walk mostly to where you want to set it up. You just have to like press that button to put a marker down, basically, and Mui will move. And you can control Mui doing the waypoints, and then you'll also find that Mui can press buttons to do things like open doors. And they have a special electrical charging power. And Mui speaks some kind of special language because they can communicate with color words that come out of their eyes. I need to know more about that. Mm. And the first achievement I got in the game was petting Mui.
I think that was probably my first one as well.
Yeah. You can crouch and pet Mui almost anytime you want, and there is an achievement for petting Mui in each part of the game. So pet Mui a lot. But once you've gotten the gang together, you can tell Mui to stay or follow using the B button. And then we're off to the races. Like, good stuff. Our young friend is along the beginning of this ride, climbing through pipes, and they're part of the puzzle too, because you have to get everybody to work in tandem using their abilities, their skills to get places. But gameplay is really about exploration, so you need to find your way through these crumbling landscapes, and then there's more biomes later, like snowy mountains, forests, waters, all sorts of things that you've got to navigate. So a puzzle series, because this is a puzzle platformer, might look like getting the friend into the pipe by moving a platform so they can reach that high. And then Mui might have to stay on a flower patch to bring up a tentacle for Lana to jump on so they don't die from fall damage. Oh my god, fall damage. So then you might have to make Mui follow again and make their way down so that they can jump up on a platform that Lana moves to get Mui higher so they can chew on some wires and make a series of rope swings for Lana to get across a really big room. Then you might need Mui to open a door with their charge power. And following that, you might have just a series of regular platforms to drop through in the environment to find yourself on another alien tentacle bug thing that you need to like move the light now to like lure them around instead of turning it on. And then you'll use Mui's power to turn it off while Lana uses the lever to move the light platform around. Like, they all flow together really well. And I feel like the skills really kind of build on each other. Like, so you'll learn, oh, hey, I can use myself as bait. And then later you'll have to do something else to expand on that. But it teaches you as you go with each puzzle. I would say Aki, this is probably double.
Aki, did you have fun with
Lana?
You know, I have never watched Archer, and that makes me sad.
Really? You should.
Yeah. I rather enjoyed it. I had some issues with how the game started out story-wise, mm-hmm. and I have issues with some of the puzzles, because there's some puzzles specifically when you're in the water and you have to use fish to guide these giant electrical jackass sharks around, and those are never fun, just because the sharks move faster and you like shoot off some ink around you but if they get close to that ink while you're there, they'll kill you anyways. It's fucking irritating, to be quite frank. It's really fucking irritating. I hate those bits of puzzles. And the beginning of the story, like, the first story, everyone was kidnapped except for Lana, and she saves everyone as a small child. She's now probably young teenage years based on her size, because they do not speak in anything but gibberish. And the whole village that she saved, especially her sister that she saved, her sister's like, no, you're not going to do anything. You're going to stay here where it's safe, and I'm going to go out and do this stuff. Which is exactly what she did in the first game, which got her caught. And then you had to save her, and she's treating you like you're a fucking 3-year-old, and it pisses me off.
Yay.
But yeah. Otherwise, I liked the story beats for the rest of the game, because the rest of the time you're, you know, going out in search of different items. Your sister's off doing her thing, and you occasionally actually get to see what she's doing and stuff. And I don't really care about that, because she's irrelevant to me.
So,
and then you have
I'm
all your stuff you're doing.
You two enjoyed it then.
Yeah, it's this. These kinds of games are right up my alley. These are fun, cute little games.
Yeah, I have a couple other comments too. That okay. Just like the color saturation and movement felt a little more alive than the first game. Music-wise, the score was really beautiful. They did a beautiful job of making a familiar but alien landscape or soundscape to Lana's planet. I actually really love the made-up language idea, and they mentioned in the beginning of the game that they, because of their made-up language, other than the prologue that they do in English, it aims to leave the narrative as an interpretive piece for the player. And I thought that was really, you know, a good sentiment for that. Also, yeah. I would note there is no deathless achievement in this
Thank fuck.
Yeah, just for finding collectibles, doing a couple specific things, getting all the achievements, but no deathless, which is great, because I died in the first 10 minutes because of the fall damage.
I've died so many times to fall damage. It's ridiculous. That and the fucking electrical sharks. Both of those just ruined my day.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, $20 on Planet of
Lana!
What?
Lana!
What?
Oh, well, since Aki's broken, I'll talk.
What?
If you like the first Planet of Lana, I think you're gonna love this.
What?
If you hadn't played the first one and you played games like Limbo or Inside, I think you'll enjoy this style of gameplay, and I would recommend checking out the first Planet of Lana and then get this one too. I think the price is good. I would say buy it.
It's definitely by a year too. Great game.
You okay?
Just
all right, she's broken. Next game, Corner Kitchen Fast Food Simulator, developed by Purplehead Games, published by Ultimate Games, released February 26th, Series X and S for $14.99. Buy cooking equipment, prepare delicious meals, and serve hungry customers. Upgrade your setup, read customer reviews, and expand your business to become the top fast food joint in the city. Because it's Ultimate Games, they were awesome enough to hook us up with some extra keys. So stick around during the music later on, and you might be able to get yourself to win a copy. Bree, what is going on in Corner Kitchen Fast Food Simulator?
Well, here is a title that tells you almost exactly what you're getting yourself into. Corner Kitchen Fast Food Simulator.
I'm lost.
You're opening a new restaurant on a corner lot that serves fast food. That's pretty much what you need to know.
No idea what's going on.
Yeah, if you've played a food simulator game or something like Supermarket Simulator, you probably already know how to play this game. And that's a good thing because there isn't much of a tutorial. There are a couple of tasks on the screen that tell you what you should do and vaguely how to do it, but not exactly how things work. Like, your first task is to order a burger station on the computer. When you get into the computer, you press A to put something in your cart, and then you have to hit Y to check out, like using the computer checkout button, which wasn't clear at first, and I ended up putting like 4 in my cart from confusion. And then it doesn't tell you that you have to pick up the box from the curb outside, but if you've played these before, you know. And further, it fails to tell you how to open the box and install it, is you have to place the item using the shadow placement view that has to be green, but I've played enough of these, so I figured it out.
Here's a question. If Jacob played this, would he ever know what to do with the box?
I'm sure he would figure it out. He's played enough of these too. But yeah, after figuring out that you have to do things like order supplies, figure out where the trash is to put your empty boxes, after you figure out how to empty them into your burger station in the first place, and then you make a menu, order, and set up a cash register, turn the sign to open. Oh, and then you have to learn how to make the burger. I'm harping a little on the lack of real tutorial here because I'm trying to see this from the perspective of someone completely new at this, and yeah. I would feel very frustrated if I'd never played one of these before. So once you're open for business, you have to take customer orders, fulfill those orders, and then deliver them to the counter and take the money. Sometimes customers will give you tips on how to improve the restaurant by snarkily saying things like, "Where was I supposed to sit?" Where the game does shine is visual representation of tasks and keeping recipes in order. It tips the trays on your station when you dip into them to pick different ingredients. And it has good cooking visual for when your burgers are done. And the ingredients are well organized, and the style of burger you're trying to make is indicated by the box you choose. So it'll give like a little pop-up of ingredients you need to put in the right order to make that particular burger. Like, that part's really well done. Kind of like those burger patties. Well done. Visual representation for a lot of your stock is clear as well. You can see when you're starting to run out of most of your ingredients, which I really liked. Some mistakes I made because I just didn't know that you were supposed to unload boxes that may not be empty and not to throw them away immediately because you might be wasting your product. Something like a tutorial would have helped. I also didn't know that I could clean the floor with a mop that there was a radial dial of tools to clean up the shop before I placed the nearly permanent object on top of a piece of trash I could no longer pick up. And that prevented me from getting 100% cleaning rating and thus locked me out of an achievement. So that was frustrating. I just started a new game and got that achievement though. Cause you can have 3 save slots in this game, which is nice. You also can't sell things you bought in error. Best you can do is put them in the trash or leave the box sitting out for later in case you can, in fact, use the chair you bought that doesn't work with the table you bought. And there was lots of grumbling and a waste of like $1,200. I also made the mistake of dropping a box instead of taking it to the trash. And for whatever reason, it was too close to the burger station. And now there's a permanent box just sitting on the ground, preventing me from having that perfect cleanliness score again.
Yeah.
Some things I did learn quickly are that you can pre-make burgers and hold them on the shelf to serve quick customers easily. And there's no penalty if the burger sits out for days and the ingredients don't spoil, which is actually really nice and convenient because you've got a lot of other stuff going on. I also learned there was some kind of leveling system that barred me from purchasing things until I achieved it. But I kept leveling, so yay. Great news for ordering supplies and keeping up pace. You don't have to have a stressful situation. You can just close the store whenever you want. And then you can take your time to shelve things and stock things and then restart. It's just a matter of the time investment you want or the level of stress you want, really. And there's a good amount of life to the game with people walking around, a bit of a city block that you can traverse. Character models are kind of limited. Like, you'll see the same customer over and over again. And there are some lighting changes that help give you like a sense of what time of day it is. And then you'll get more traffic during certain times of the day. There's also a clock to help with that. There's a good amount of options in your dream fast food kitchen. You can change the logo, paint the walls, or wallpaper. You can buy space in the building next door, expand the size of the restaurant, including upper sections, larger kitchens, and even delivery options. You can hire employees to do different things like clean, run food, cook, and run the register, leaving you time to manage supplies and order things and decorate without closing down shop. Early on, you may find that you have to close the shop a fair amount of time to get things done, which is fine. But yeah, you get ratings that'll help improve customer traffic. Reading reviews will also tell you areas you can improve on, like adding seating, cleaning the shop better. You can actually pay a kid to hand out flyers, but you better be prepared for like a huge influx of customers when you do that. I was not prepared. I had a line out the door. It was ridiculous. But yeah, after you gain a level, you get access to more ingredients, stations, like you can make fries and hot dogs, and you'll need, you know, different shelving that you need to buy. There's some good, there's like minimal settings options, like including reverse axis, mute narrator, turn the vibration off. There is a manual save option, but it's only at the end of the day. I'm not sure that it auto saves any other time. Seems like you can only save at the end of the day. The achievement list was nothing to write home about. It was sort of just there. They have like a couple of easy achievements, and then there's a pretty grindy one where you have to cook 10,000 burgers.
Interesting.
I'm not looking forward to that one, yeah. But all in all, I had a good time with this one. I was just frustrated with some of the aspects I mentioned, specifically the tutorial. Or lack thereof.
$15. Need a verdict on it.
So if you've played games like this before, you're going to find more of the same here. If you haven't played this style of game, this may not be a good place to start because it relied too heavily on the genre knowledge with its weak tutorial. The price is great. It's really lacking any story. You do get to make quite a bit of restaurant in this, and I had a good time. I'm going to give this a hearty try it.
Very good. Final game tonight, Sumerian 6, developed by Artificer, published by Crunching Koalas. It released March 6th on Series X and S and PS5 for $29.99, previously on PC. Lead an unlikely team of commando scientists behind enemy lines to fight Nazis, uncover arcane mysteries, and wield experimental technology to turn the tide of World War III in this real-time tactical stealth adventure. It says World War II, but yeah, we're still fighting Nazis, so, you know, try to make it feel relevant.
Totally.
Yeah. So you and Purnell were going to cover this. Purnell did not make our show this week because I canceled it on Tuesday. So you were checking this one out, which makes sense because you're more of the stealth person anyway. What do you think of Sumerian 6?
It's pretty good. Pretty good. And this, it's called Sumerian 6 because there are six of you idiots. And, yeah, there's 10 levels, I believe, in the game. All of them can be beaten very quickly if you know what the fuck you're doing. Otherwise, it's going to take you a few hours, each level easily. Not that all of my play times have been over an hour and a half, and that's excluding all the reloads that I've had to do from the many, many, many amount of times I've died, or anything. Totally. No, not at all. And, you start off, playing as one individual, a young man who is going into this Nazi base because his sister is working as a spy inside there to get information to their little ragtag rebellion group. And she hasn't said anything for a few days. So he, instead of waiting like he's supposed to, he decides, fuck it, I'm going in. Everything between me and there is a bunch of dead people. And then you proceed to make that a reality in very fun ways. In this, yeah, you get the ability to crouch or run. Crouching basically just allows you to hide in grass and behind objects. There's also a cone of sight for every enemy, and when it is a solid color, you can't hide by crouching, but after that full color version, there's one that's like dashes, and if you crouch in that, they can't see you. So, and you're able to see that for only one individual person at a time, then you have to click a button and bring it to the next person you want to see stuff from. That way you can get through without killing individuals, or if you actively are unable to kill individuals, because some enemies are too strong for your character to kill one off, and you won't survive if you can't kill them all one off. He starts off, everyone has a few abilities. He's able to throw a flashbang at people that stuns them for a moment, which is very useful, because you can get in there, if you're real close, you can throw that, and then you can kill two different people at the same time, which is really nice. He's able to pick people up and carry them off and dump them elsewhere while walking, which is something not every character can do. He also has the really cool ability of I have a gun, which is pretty fantastic, other than the fact that these people are all supposed to be super stealthy and none of them have decided to put a single silencer on any of the very few guns that you have. So they're really fucking loud, and they're louder than the distance that they're able to be shot. So you really don't want to use it if you don't have to, because once enemies know you're there, you're kind of sort of a little bit fucked. He also has tech abilities. Everyone has special tech abilities. His is when enemies are within a certain distance of him, he can basically attach himself to them. And then he can jump from them to other people, and it's called piggyback. And basically enemies don't see him attached to them, and that way he can jump on somebody who is walking through this area patrolling and get behind enemy lines and then start killing people from the opposite direction in case they're all facing towards where he originally was. Super useful ability. And he meets up with his sister, and she has some abilities, like she can turn invisible. It was one of her two special abilities. I don't remember what the other one is, because you don't get to play with her as her for very long in many of the starting levels, so I basically forgotten her abilities. And then, you know, you go through other levels, you meet some other people, they get added to the group, whilst others disappear from the group because they have other things they need to do. But eventually you end up with, obviously, those two. Their father, who is a big super tech dude, a scientist named Rosa, who is my favorite character, because she can't carry bodies, because anytime she kills someone, it gets dissolved, because she uses acids. It's awesome. Eventually also get a werewolf, or not a werewolf, a werebear, which is crazy. The reason why you all are going and hunting down Nazis, other than the fact they're just a bunch of Nazi jackasses, originally your dad, Rosa, and this guy named Himmler or Kimmler, something like that, all used to be working together as scientists studying this type of weird energy that isn't real, and then they more or less kicked him out because he was a stupid piece of shit. And he decided to go and join the Nazis and give them that information, started stealing the information from all the, like, different caches that you had around. So now everyone's like, okay, we need to stop this shit and get rid of him. And no one has decided just to put a bullet in his head for some reason. Everyone's after him for that. So, like, he creates a teleportation device that allows him and everyone in this weird pop that you can walk into to teleport wherever he wants. And he's using that to go steal more information so he can further his, you know, scientific endeavors of helping the Nazis be jackasses. Except for he's just not very smart. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So any other big points or negatives to hit, or should we?
The only real negatives I have with this game is this is very much one of those games. They created a quick save button for a fucking reason. It does and not
it doesn't really work.
It does. It does. Thank God. Oh. It also does auto saves, but they're so distant that you really need to remember to make manual and quick saves. Because if you don't, you're going to lose like an hour's worth of fucking playtime because you died. Not that I've done that a few times or anything. Yeah. Good fun when you forget to save.
Blech. $30. Need a verdict on this one.
If you like stealth games like Blades of the Shogun and stuff like that, this is definitely going to be a game for you. If you don't like those style games, I don't think anything here is going to really change your mind. So it's really up to do you like this style of game. If so, this is a good one. You're really going to like this. If you don't like these, you're going to want to pass.
All right. And with that, this episode is done.
Woohoo!
I am going to say goodbye to our audience and say goodbye to you two for hanging out. And I'm going to announce that I will play a song at the end. I don't know what it is because I'm too lazy to think of one right now. I'll do it tomorrow when I hopefully feel less shitty. And final words.
Lana!
What?
Danger Zone.
Welcome.
We'll be right back.